Okay. We can turn over to Matthew 14. Which I'll be turning there, finding that place. I wanted to talk to you about Jesus walking on the water. Now, y'all have heard about this before, right? Y'all know everything about it, right?
No.
So, I know I've read it many times before, and I've heard a lot of preachers preach on it, and I've gotten a lot from it, okay? So, what are we going to go over it again? Well, let's see if we can find something new, a different way of looking at it, okay? Because I find that when we look at the Word, sometimes we can find something new there, right? Something we haven't seen before. So, one of the things that back in the Old Testament days, and I'm backing up, I'm going to present this, and we're going to come to this passage. In the Old Testament days, when two kings or two nations got to fight each other, the kings were always at the head. You know, they were the generals, but they were typically they would lead the troops into battle and this sort of thing. And they used propaganda. Okay? Y'all know what propaganda is, making the enemy think something that you want them to think. So they would get a reputation, and they would try to spread that reputation to all the nations around them. You know, this king is a mighty king. He's got, you know, he does all this stuff, and he's strong, and he's horrible, he's fierce, and he puts fear in the heart of all those around him. So whenever he go into battle, he's got fear in the heart of everybody he's going to go and attack, right? Okay. So, what some of the kings would do, and God had, you know, his generals do this from time to time. Whenever they defeated one of these kings, that were so fierce, and the word about him had gone out all over the place, and oh my, this person's really tough, you know, and it, you know, this person's going to destroy us, you know, make us slaves, and do all this kind of bad stuff to us. And they'd be afraid to go up against this king, afraid when they go into battle. So what he would do is that when they defeated one of these kings that were, you know, had all this trash talk going on. you know what we do with football teams, you know, they trash talk, you know, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to put fear in you, you know. So they would trash talk. So whenever they would conquer one of these armies that came against them, they would go and capture this king. All right? Now, all of their men had heard about this king and how fierce he was. Now, how, you know, he's just going to destroy us all. Now, you captured him. And they would take him and they would bind his hands behind him. And then they would make him get down on the floor, or get down on the ground. Get down like this and put his head on the floor. Now my limber doesn't do that. Put my hand behind me, but he'd have to get in this position, which was a worship position, right? It's a submission position. That's why they would do this for worship, because it was submitting to God. You see, so they would get down like this. You see him, you see him doing this on TV sometimes, you know, you see the Jews get down and worshiping like this before God, face to the ground, right? So that's how they worship. But they would tie this king's hands behind him, so he was bound, he couldn't do anything. And he would have to put his head down
like that. Something like that.
I don't know exactly how it worked, but anyway, that's what he would do. And then they would get their officers of their army, the captains, 10 captains of 50, captains of 100, whatever, and have all of their officers come by, and some of them would be young men, right? Fairly young men, probably 25, something like this. And they would show up this king and say, now, this is the king that you were so afraid of. This is the king that you heard all these mighty things about. This is the king that you heard cut off the thumbs of his enemies and the toes of his enemies. This is the king that did all these horrible things and defeated everybody. This is the king that you were so afraid of. Now, come, put your foot on his neck. And one by one, every officer would come and put his foot on the neck of that king. Now, what was he trying to communicate to him? When you put your foot on the neck of that king, if you're not careful, if you get a little bit off balance, you break his neck. Right? But when you put your foot on something, you are doing what? It's called subdue. Subdue. Why did God say to Jesus, come and sit here until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Until I subdue your enemies. God told Adam and Eve, right? He said, fill the earth and subdue it. What does subdue mean? It means to walk on. That's what subdue is. It means to walk on. And so they would have to put their foot on that king. That king is subdued. He may have been fierce, but I am subdued.
That's what Jesus did in hell.
Sorry?
That's what Jesus did in hell. He triumphed over them gloriously. They prayed before him.
There you go.
He took it. And now he tells us to do the same thing on the earth.
Exactly. So, that's where I wanted to start here. And now let's look at Matthew.
Walking on water.
Yeah. Hey, you catching on. You're jumping ahead. That's good. That's good. Matthew 14, and starting with verse 22. 14:22. And I'm reading out of the ESV. It's very similar to the King James. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Now they're on. He's been talking to the people. He sent the people away. He's put the disciples in a boat. Or is going to send the people away. He puts them in a boat and he says, now go across to the other side of the lake. It says he made the disciples. He just constrained them. I don't know why he had to make them. But you know. Anyway, he apparently had to be firm with them. And say, go on to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. All right, so they're on the sea. They're going to go across. Doesn't really take that long to get across the lake. It's only, I think it's 4 miles or something. It's not that far to go across the lake. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land. Beaten by the waves, the wind was against them. So they're in the boat trying to row their way across the lake. The wind's blowing against them. So they're not making much progress, if any at all. It's really, really tough. And the waves were beating on the boat. That made it worse. And in the fourth watch of the night, this is only in the wee hours of the morning, the fourth watch. Okay. He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Why did they think it was a ghost? Because men can't walk on the water, right?
Don't walk on water.
Men can't walk on water. I mean, Moses didn't even walk on water. He parted it to walk across the dry land. But Elisha, he parted it. You know, he walked across some dry land, but here's somebody walking on the water. It must be a ghost, right? I don't know. Anyway. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. It stopped. Died down, calm. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Okay, so let's think about this. Jesus, when he came down to he was up on the mountain to pray. When he finished praying, he came down to the edge of the water. Wind was blowing, the waves were up, all this sort of thing. Now, he could have just calmed the storm, right? He had done that, right? Mm-hmm. He could have just calmed the storm and walked across on the water that way. Why didn't he? Why didn't he calm the storm and then walk across?
Peter never would have had that experience.
Oh. Oh. Someone else? Yeah?
Training the disciples.
Training the disciples? Okay.
Because it didn't matter to Jesus one way or the other, he could do it.
It didn't matter to Jesus.
Right.
Okay.
And then he could have took the lesson of whatever was the best for what he was doing. It was more dramatic walking on the water with the waves.
It was, wasn't it? It was. Well, I got to thinking about this.
Can I add something too?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
You know, the disciples thought they kind of knew Jesus. You know, sometimes we get, you know, for me, we think we kind of know him. And he did something different they hadn't seen before. They said to themselves, "What manner of man is this? We thought we knew him. But what manner of man is this? He's never seen anybody walk the water." You know, that's what they were saying to themselves.
And also, he just came out from a long time of prayer. He might not even noticed it. He just walked on the water, because when you stay in God's presence like that in prayer, you are a lot stronger Christian. And you don't, things don't bother you near as much. And you take authority the way God directs you to take authority.
And then, too, he didn't have a boat.
Well, he didn't have a boat, but I mean, he could have calmed the water and walked across on calm water.
He could have what now?
He could have calmed the water and then walked across on calm water, you see. But he chose.
He was giving the disciples a chance to use their faith.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Yeah. One of the things that I picked up when I read this, I said, you know, why? When I thought he could have calmed the water and walked across, he could have gotten across any kind of way, right? But he chose to walk across. Now, like y'all were saying, I agree with you. He walked across so the disciples could see him. But I got to thinking about it. The waves were there. The wind was blowing. The circumstances were not good. I mean, it's bad enough he had to get over and cross the lake, right? But now the circumstances had gotten tough. He had to walk into the wind. The waves were coming at him. Right? He probably got soaking wet. All right? So the circumstances were tough. The circumstances were tough. And I got to thinking, what do we do when our circumstances are tough? What we want to do is we want to get rid of the circumstances, don't we?
Oh, that's good, Riley. That's very
We want to get out of... Lord, take me out of this situation.
Now.
Lord, change the circumstances.
Now.
Yeah, now. Sound like somebody's impatient. We all are, aren't we? And I got to thinking, you know, Jesus didn't do that. What he did was he subdued the circumstances.
Hallelujah. That's good, right?
He walked on. The circumstances.
Walk by faith and not by sight.
He says, The circumstances are bad, but that doesn't matter.
They're under my feet.
Because they're under my feet.
Glory.
Jesus.
They're under my feet. He had spent time with the Father, like you said, and he knew who he was, and he knew who the Father was, and he knew the power that he had. And when you know the power that you got, and you know the power that you got is greater than the circumstances, when you know that he who is within you is greater than he who is in the world, then you can go and stomp all over.
And then that's signs and wonders. And I'm sure everybody in those communities heard all about that.
Yes.
And the apostles saw it too.
But especially the disciples who went, we thought we knew him, but we don't really know him.
So when they...
That's why signs and wonders are important in this day and time. Yes. We kind of think, like, that's impossible. You know, we're not going to walk on water. If God wants it for a sign and wonder at that area, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you if you're walking on water. There was a need there, too. He didn't just do it to show off.
Now, when he got to the boat, where his disciples were, he made out like he was going to go on. Right? Like he wasn't even going to stop. He was just going to keep going. Because they saw him. He knew that they saw him. And that should have been enough. There's our rabbi. He's the one that we're supposed to be like, right? If you were a disciple, you wanted to be like your rabbi. You wanted to do like he did, think the way he did, talk the way he talked, all these things. There's our rabbi. We want to be like him. What is he doing? Well, he's subduing the circumstances. Well, maybe we ought to do that too. But they didn't think that, did they? They were focused on the circumstances, except for one of them,
Peter.
Peter looked out there and said, if you can do it, I can do it too. Just tell me. If that's you, tell me to come, I'll come. And when Jesus said come, he was the only one that got out of the boat. And he started walking toward Jesus. Now, as long as his focus was on Jesus, he had what? He had victory over the circumstances. He was subduing his circumstances, just like Jesus was doing, right? The circumstances don't bother me. I don't have to have them leave. I can just walk on top of them. And they won't bother me. Right? Now, when the other guys saw Peter walking toward Jesus, they should have all just jumped out of the boat and said, I'm going to go too. Yeah. You know, you think about it, right? If he can do it, we can do it. Peter's no special guy. Why can't you understand? This is how they didn't think. But it's how we ought to think, right? We ought to think, yeah.
You know, I think with what you said just then, it seemed like Jesus may have been fishing for the leader, because he did it. That's the first time. And the second time, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter was the one that answered. And, you know, the Lord will do that. Sometimes he'll do things to see if people are on board. See, you know, he always wanted the best, the person that had the most faith, just like with Isaiah. Who will go for?
Yeah.
Isaiah said, here am I, send me. First volunteer. All the prophets were there with him. So he may have been fishing for
a leader.
Who he put in.
Yeah. Charge. Well, you know, you look at this and you think, okay, who's the leader? Jesus is the leader.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You can't be a good leader until you're a good follower.
Yeah.
So Peter had to learn to follow Jesus in order to be a good leader.
Yeah.
Remember the centurion? He says, I'm a man under authority, and I have people under me.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get to be under authority unless you know how to obey order, follow orders, right? If you don't follow orders, you don't get promoted, right? So, but here's Jesus walking on the circumstances. I don't have to have the circumstances removed. I can walk on them. I can subdue them. I can rise above them. And the waves, they don't bother me. It's not going to stop me from getting where I'm going. I'm going across the other side. I'm going across the other side. And he showed that greater was he who was in him than he who was in the world. Greater was he than the circumstances that you're in. Yeah.
I think the key word, though, here is Jesus said, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Peter.
Yes. Definitely. Don't be afraid. Fear is the opposite of faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the enemy of faith.
Mm-hmm. So, want people operate just like him. He wants us to do what he does.
We live by faith.
Yeah.
We live by faith. Paul says, in the life I now live, I live by faith. We as Christians do not live by sight. We live by faith.
And you know, God's been showing me this everywhere in Scripture about just the name of Jesus. That faith is our highest weapon, our highest strength is the name of Jesus. Because it's faith in what Jesus did. It's faith in the justification he did. It's faith in his healing. So the name of Jesus is what we have to believe in. And love, which works everybody. So God's been showing me, I mean, it's like so simple how profound and powerful the name of Jesus is. And this is what Jesus, it's all Jesus. Everything's connected to Jesus. The grace, the mercy, the love, everything's connected to the name of Jesus. And that's why we don't need any laws, because it's the name of Jesus.
That's right. Stand up with me.
Jesus.
Stand up with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
If Jesus had calmed the water and started walking across, the wind would have stopped. The disciples might have gotten to the other side before Jesus did.
That's exactly right.
And they may have never got to see Jesus walking on the water. Peter may never have got to test his faith, exercise his faith, right? If we always want our circumstances removed, how are people going to see the signs and the wonders?
Exactly.
How are people going to see the glory of God in our lives?
The goodness of God.
So maybe we talk to God and we say, God, don't remove these circumstances. Let me walk on top of them. Let me subdue the circumstances so that people can see the power of God and know that they can also experience that power, that love of God. Amen? Amen. Okay. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for this food, this wonderful time together. We thank you that we can pick up our feet and put them down on top of our circumstances and walk on them. We thank you, Father, for Jesus and what he did, what he's shown us, and how he lives in us. Guide us in all things, Father. Bless the food and the fellowship we're about to share together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pick up your feet. Put them down.
Oh, she got the daylight done up.